The West Live. The West Live with Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
It seems like a bit of an understatement, but looking after our mental health has never been more important. Even though we're lucky enough to go out, to go to the pub, to meet each other for dinner, to gather in crowds, we're still living in trying times. Some of us might be separated from family and from friends, or even trying to help someone going through really tough times. One in five adults and one in seven children, aged between 4 to 17, will experience some form of mental illness in their lifetime. And that's only going to be exacerbated by COVID and everything that has been involved in that deadly virus. My first guest today is an incredible woman, an incredible doctor, and a marvellous role model. Australia's first Indigenous doctor, Professor Helen Milroy, has spent her career helping children through mental health issues. And she's just been shortlisted for the 2020 Australian Mental Health Prize. She's been recognised as one of the leading minds in treating mental health, just one of two West Aussies to be named finalists, alongside former Health Minister Keith Wilson. Professor Helen Milroy, firstly, congratulations. What do you love about your work?
Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you, Jenna. I think that working with children in particular and families in mental health gives you the opportunity to work in a much broader way and actually deal with the issues in a much more holistic way. You're dealing with the person and the family. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing I like most about working with children is one, they really keep you honest because some of them are just so straightforward.
Indeed.
Which is great. And I think that you can't really get a better reward than seeing a child get back on track and smile again. That's just the best ever.
That's a really interesting point of view because I think I'm the same. The one thing I love about kids is that if you want an honest opinion, go to a toddler.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they're just like that. And also I think that, you know, we've all been through childhood, obviously, but we sort of forget what it's like.
Yeah.
And kids do have different perspectives and they often have, you know, a different way of looking at things. And I think that's really refreshing.
At this point in time, children's mental health has always been so important, none more so than now. Would that be correct in saying that due to COVID?
Yes, absolutely. I think COVID's changed things for all of us and certainly changed things for children and families. Mm. And I think it's created a lot of anxiety and stress and distress for people right across the board and in fact, right across the world.
Yeah.
So yes, it's changed things enormously. And I don't think we've seen the full impact of that yet. I think there's still more to come. And people often talk about, you know, although we've seen significant issues in mental health presenting already, there'll be more to come as things sort of, we try to go back to normal or there's another way. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of uncertainty still, and that's hard to live with on a ongoing basis.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the one thing, children and uncertainty do not go hand in hand, especially if they're already struggling. What are some ways that we can all sort of help parents or help our little ones in our life to ensure that, you know, the next couple of months are probably going to be a bit tough? How can we give them a helping hand?
Look, I think it's always good to try and be confident about what you do know so that you don't create more uncertainty or more anxiety. Try and stick to some regular routines so that life appears as normal as we can possibly make it. I think it's really important to take advantage if you can, and I realise that not all states are able to do this, but try and have some, you know, outdoor activities, schedule in, you know, fun activities, that sort of thing. Children really do need to have some socialisation. They need to be able to play with friends. If they can't do it in person, then you have to try and be creative about how you can use some of the technology that we have to allow children to see people and talk to people. And so, you know, all of those sorts of things are really important. I think it's also important to not overexpose children to too much news or bad news about what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, limit the information and make sure any information that is given is at an age-appropriate level.
Yeah,
and
indeed.
I think the parents themselves, if they're struggling, then rather than try and hide that from their children, you know, actually get help for themselves and make sure that they're doing the right things as much as they can do to make sure that they're staying on track as well. Because, you know, kids usually know when their parents are upset. Mm. And I think parents often make the mistake of saying, no, everything's all right, when the child can clearly see that it's not.
Yeah.
So try and have that more open and honest discussion with your children as well, in a good way.
Yeah, indeed. In terms of the ongoing effects of COVID that we may see down the track, what are some of those things that we may see pop up?
Well, I guess we might see continuing issues around sort of anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
And I think that as families struggle, depending on what happens with perhaps employment and other sorts of issues, then, you know, that stress all comes back onto families and then subsequently onto children.
Mm.
I also, I suppose, it's unclear how children are going to go in regard to schooling and things like that. Some kids may have fallen behind.
Mm-hmm.
Some kids may have found it really difficult to readjust going back into the school environment and just getting back into normal life.
Mm.
These are all quite big issues. It's interesting with kids in school, you know, there's been varying reports, I suppose. Some kids have actually really enjoyed being at home. and who wouldn't? You know, you've got all your toys to play with, you've got your dog and your
cat. Bluey's at your fingertips. It's so easy.
Yeah. Exactly. And you've got your parents around you. And it's not a great life, but of course, you know, everyone has to adjust to going back to the real world.
Yeah.
So for some kids, home has been a safe haven, and that makes it hard to go back. For other kids, they just can't wait to get back.
Yeah.
And they're desperate. They're busting at the seams to get back to normal life. So I think you can't assume that everyone's going to react the same.
Yeah.
There's a lot of differences right across the board.
Indeed. I guess you have been in this area for so many years now. Could the one silver lining with COVID be the straw that breaks the camel's back? And now we're finally, Australians have this proclivity to not talk about mental health. If mum and dad aren't doing too well, we bury it, we don't talk about it. Could this be the one thing that cracks us wide open to be really honest and authentic about how we're feeling with our loved ones?
I hope so. I mean, it's certainly an opportunity to do that, isn't it? And I think with any of these really difficult circumstances that we find ourselves in, there sometimes are opportunities that are created. And I do think that for a long, long, well, really forever, we've had a lot of stigma about talking about mental health. It's sort of seen as a bit of a weakness, particularly sometimes for men, admitting that they may be struggling. But even people in the workplace, you can't let your bosses know that you're not doing so well in case you know, that somehow comes back to bite you.
Yeah.
So I think this is an opportunity to say, look, all of us are affected by this. No one is immune to the effects of this, as we've seen with the virus.
Yeah, indeed.
And so it is a good time to be able to talk more openly and honestly and just have that more caring side to society.
Mm.
That idea that, you know, we can all help each other to feel a little bit better in our circumstances.
Indeed. And I guess prevention is always better than a cure. How have you found, we've seen some things in the news this week around, you know, mental health patients being strapped to gurneys and things like that. How have you found the West Australian response to mental health, not just during COVID, but in recent times?
I think the problem with child mental health in particular is that sometimes it's difficult, I think, to get your head around what is a mental health burden or challenge or a disorder or illness in a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so we often talk about intervention or early intervention or prevention, and that's fantastic. We absolutely are better off preventing these things from taking hold because it's harder to intervene down the track.
Mm.
But there's always going to be a small group of children that actually have quite significant difficulty, and they actually need a much more robust response. And I think there seems to be a difficulty in understanding that level of burden for kids. We tend to think kids will be okay, or kids are resilient, they'll get over it. Well, some don't, and some need actually much more intensive treatment than what is actually available right across Australia, actually, and probably across the world, because we know that rates of illness are rising.
Yeah, indeed. Were you pleased to see that mental health was at the forefront of the state budget, which was presented last week?
Yeah, I think it's always a good thing when you see more resources coming into what traditionally has been a fairly under-resourced sector.
Yeah, indeed. Now, we can't let you go without talking about your nomination for the Australian Mental Health Prize.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Tell us
a little bit
about that.
So, look, I think it was a great initiative that a group of people over on the East Coast and the University of New South Wales put up to try and recognise people who have made a significant contribution to mental health across Australia. We've had some fantastic winners already. I think Christine Morgan has been a recipient of the prize.
Amazing.
She's done an amazing job with the National Health Commission and the Suicide Prevention Task Force. But lots of really, really amazing champions of mental health, right from clinicians through to policymakers through to other people right across the system.
Yeah, indeed.
So I think it's just really good to see mental health at least being prioritised, I suppose, and those champions being recognised nationally. I think that's a good thing. If it actually helps to promote mental health, reduce stigma, mm-hmm. and help us all to feel a little bit better about what we're doing, I think that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Now, you are also involved in the Telethon Kids Institute. Telethon weekend yep. is coming up next yep. weekend, so fingers mm-hmm. crossed we get to see you and have a chat yes. about mental health in our little people over the weekend. Are you looking forward to it?
Yes, yes. And if I can just make the comment that I really believe our nation's greatest asset is our children.
Yes.
So let's make sure we can keep them really well.
Indeed. Professor Helen Milroy, we are absolutely not worthy of your time. It has been an absolute pleasure. I look forward to chatting to you again on The West Live soon.
Thank you.